That there was, you know, there's movies today that show Christ lusting after women, show him, you know, in compromising situations. And these are all concoctions of Hollywood to try to sully the reputation of Jesus Christ. But the scripture says here that he knew no sin. He never had a lustful thought. And I was wondering, boy, it must have been terrible for his brothers and sisters.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of There's None Like Him, Jesus is Superior to Other Religious Leaders, from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of There's None Like Him, Jesus is Superior to Other Religious Leaders.
I'll give a test. Jesus didn't have to give any tests. I like what it says in John. It said that Jesus didn't commit himself to anybody because he knew what was in every man's heart. How many teachers know what's in the heart of the student? Most teachers don't know what's in the student's heart until the student starts talking or he gives a test. He or she gives a test. Jesus never had to do that. There's never been a teacher, again, who could evaluate how well the students have grasped material without giving a test or a term paper. There's never been a teacher who could hold the attention of his students for hours on end. The Sermon on the Mount. Some people say that was about a six-hour sermon, and yet the people just stood there or sat there, riveted to their seats. And then at the end of it, you know what it said? When he got finished, you know what it said? And they were still so connected to the message. It says that they marveled that he taught as one who had authority. Nobody ever taught like Jesus. And there were some great teachers. Gandhi was a great teacher. There's other world-renowned teachers, but nobody ever taught like Jesus taught. Not only was he a teacher who had come from God, but watch this now, don't miss this. He was God come to teach. Not only was he a teacher come from God, but he was God come to teach. This makes him the greatest teacher of all times. I'll take anybody that you name and put them side by side with Jesus Christ, and nobody ever taught like he taught. How many people throughout the history of time have taught, and so many people years later are still following his teachings? We got great philosophers who have written books people still follow, but they don't have half the crowd that Jesus has. Jesus has influenced the lives of people throughout the centuries with his teaching. Well, let me give you three more testimonies as to the fact that he was an extraordinary teacher. First one is Nicodemus. And what did Nicodemus say? Now you got to realize that in Nicodemus' day, there was a lot of buzz going around about who Jesus was. And some people said he was John the Baptist. Some people said he was Elijah. Somebody said he was one of the prophets. But you know, one of the other things that was going around about Jesus is that he was a teacher sent from God. Well, how do we know that? Because Nicodemus says in John chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." What a powerful statement. What a powerful thing to be said about an individual. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. Secondly, he was called Rabbi. On many occasions, he was called Rabbi. And the word Rabbi actually means a master teacher. And then let me share something with you that's going to blow your mind. He was getting on the Pharisees one day, right? And in Matthew chapter 23, turn there. Matthew chapter 23. He was dealing with the Pharisees who loved to be called rabbi. And Jesus tells them in Matthew 23 all the things they loved to do. And then in verse 6 it says, and they loved the uppermost places at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. And they loved to be called by what? Rabbi. Rabbi, rabbi. Look what Jesus says. But be not called rabbi, for there is one who is your master, even Jesus Christ. There's only one rabbi. I mean, I know we have all these people in certain communities going around today saying that they're rabbi. That word rabbi means teacher, master teacher. Jesus said there's only one master teacher, and that's me. The greatest teacher that ever lived. And then, as I already shared with you in Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the scripture says that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. What sets Jesus apart from others? The fact that he was sinless, the fact that he was the greatest teacher that ever lived. Number three, what sets him apart from others? Who else claimed to be God? Who else claimed to be God? Now, there have been people over the years that have claimed to be God. David Koresh said that he was God. And what did he do? He just showed us that he wasn't God. Father Divine said that he was God, right? And all he was doing was pimping people, all right? So there have been people that said that they're God, but sooner or later, they've been found out. Now, this is something that blows my mind. And that is, in your notes again, I know I'm doing a lot of teaching this morning, but I'm trying to help us understand who Jesus is. Writing an article in the Apologetic Study Bible, Ron Rhodes says this: it may surprise many to learn that we have no reliable historical data that any of the founders of world religions, apart from Jesus, ever claimed to be God. Muhammad, he never said he was God. Confucius, he never said he was God. Leaders of the world religions, founders of the world religions, the big religions of the world, none of them ever claimed to be God. There's only one person who ever claimed to be God, and that was Jesus Christ. He said that he was God. Now, people will say, well, where did he say it at? Well, I'm glad that you asked that, because I put it right there in the notes. First, he said that he was one with the Father, John 10, verse 30. Second, he referred to himself as I am, and that was the name God referred to himself when he appeared to Moses in Exodus 3:14. And when the religious leaders of his day wanted to kill Jesus, the reason they wanted to kill him is because he said that he was God. That's a pretty bold claim. To say that you're God, and yet and still Jesus made the claim that he was God. No other major religious leader made that claim, because they knew they couldn't back it up. And I don't have time this morning. I wish I did. But when you think about it, Josh McDowell says, if somebody says that they're God, they're either a liar because they know that they're not God. They're either a lunatic because they think they're God and they're not. Or number three, they're Lord. And they are who they say they are. Like Dennis Green said, they were what we thought they were. Those of you who are football fans know what I'm talking about. Jesus said that he was God. So now, come on now, somebody help me out. He's either one of three things. He's either a liar, he knew he wasn't God, and he lied about it. He's a lunatic, he's crazy, and he thinks he's God and he's not. Or he is who he said he is. And that makes him Lord. But what was Jesus able to do? He was able to back up the claim that he made. If you're going to make a claim like that, then you better be able to back it up. So in the notes, I put in there, how did he back it up? He performed miracles to prove that he is God. And then I list all the areas where he performed miracles. In the natural world, he turned water into wine. He walked on water. He calmed storms. He put coins in the fish's mouth, and he destroyed a fig tree. In the spirit world, what did he do? He cast out demons. In the physical world, he had power over fish and was able to multiply food. In the world of sickness, he healed the nobleman's son, Peter's mother-in-law, a leper, a paralytic, the man with the withered hand, the women with the issue of blood, the blind man, the impotent man, the man born blind, the 10 lepers, the soldier whose ears had been cut off. He healed them. He proved that he was God. He made the statement. He made the claim, and he proved that he was God. And then finally, probably the most powerful way that he proved that he was God, he raised folk from the dead, the widow's son, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, and let us not fail to mention his own resurrection. What puts Jesus head and shoulders above everybody else? He lived a sinless life. He taught like no one else taught, and he claimed to be God. Next, we see that he rose from the dead. What other religious leader has ever died and rose again? He's the only one that rose from the dead. Now, and here goes the thing that is absolutely mind-blowing. There are skeptics today that will tell us, well, you know, he didn't really die. He passed out on the cross. When they put him in the tomb, cold air revived him. They'll say, well, you know, the people who saw him had hallucinations. They'll say, well, you know, somebody, disciples stole his body, or the women went to the wrong tomb. They come up with all these theories to explain away the resurrection, right? Now, plain and simple, this is the question. That there were, you know, just think back to the gospel record. The last thing that the religious crowd of the day wanted was for Jesus to rise from the dead. That's the last thing that they wanted, because they knew that they would have something on their hands if he rose from the dead. So when the disciples, watch this now, 3 days later said that he rose from the dead, it was general knowledge by mostly everybody in the area where he was buried. The disciples said he rose. So all you got to do, and now you can't, even the stolen body theory is crazy, because what, they put a Roman legion on it, and that was 16 Roman soldiers who would kill anything or anybody that came close to what they were guarding. So that stolen body. So you got all these skeptics, right? 3 days later, what's the only thing they have to do? Is go show the body. Give me the body, and Christianity is dead. And for 2,000 years, not only were the early skeptics not able to produce a body, but the skeptics throughout the years have not been able to reproduce a body. What sets Jesus apart from every other religious leader is the fact that he and he alone rose from the dead. A Christian was in dialogue with a Muslim, and the Muslim said to him, ah, you Christians, you know, you worship a God that you don't even know where he is. You know, when we go to worship our prophet Muhammad, we know where his body is and we can revere him. You Christians, when you go, there's not anything in the tomb. And the Christian said, ah, but that's the key. It's the empty tomb. That there's nothing in the tomb. Songwriter said, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. What sets Jesus apart? He rose from the dead. And then finally, what sets Jesus apart? Every other organization would fall without the merits of its founder. Now let me explain what I mean. Go back and research every other religion that when the leader left, the religion kept on. Why? Because it was based on some rules, right? They left a book behind for people to follow, or they left certain guidelines. They said, you know, well, you got to keep these seven things, you know, follow these five things, or it was based upon, you know, some type of acts or works that you had to do. Every religion, go back and study it. Don't just accept what I'm saying here today. Go back and study it. Every religion is based on something that people have to do and follow, right? And after the leader died, the religion kept on. Christianity is the only religion that is based on the merits of its founder. That if Jesus Christ didn't do what he did and was dead, there would be no Christianity. What is the capstone of Christianity? First Corinthians 15 is what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You take that away, and what is? There's no Christianity. There's absolutely nothing at all. Christianity stands and falls on the resurrection. Paul said that if Christ did not rise from the dead, then your faith is in vain, and you are still in your sins. Christianity is the only one that rests upon the shoulders. Whoa! Of its founder. No other religion rests upon the shoulders of its founder. Take that founder away, you can send anybody else to start that religion. Anybody else can go in and have a dream and see an angel and get some keys. Anybody can do that. But only one person can come, die, be buried, and rose again. Not only is Christianity dependent upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but Christianity is dependent upon him every day. Why do you say that? Look in your notes. I put this in the notes about halfway through. He is the life source of his followers. They find strength in him. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Now, if Christ was dead, what can you do through Christ? I can do all things through Muhammad. I can do all things through Confucius. I can do all things through Charles Taz Russell. I can do all things through Joseph Smith. I can't do anything through them. Why? Because they're dead. But yet and still, their religion keeps on. Without Jesus Christ, Christianity is absolutely nothing. And so we depend on him. And we get our strength from him. And Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ, what? Lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and died for me. Christianity is nothing without its founder. And so we, as Christians, need to realize this. You need to take these notes. You need to, you don't put the notes down until you know those five truths. Until you can sit down and you can recite those five truths. What makes Jesus Christ better or superior than any other religious leader? And I'm going to put a challenge out there. My email is ironman@gmail.com. No. pwrglaze@aol.com. pwrglaze@aol.com. And tell me, who is superior than these, based on these things that we talked about this morning? What leader is superior than Jesus Christ? You won't find one. I guarantee, I don't care who it is. You want to find The first, they're going to get knocked out with number one. Let me just tell you right there. Number one is going to knock out everybody else because they didn't. You know, there's nobody that lived a sinless life, but he did. And I would notice in my spirit so that as I look around, it'll do two things. Number one, it'll let me know that I'm following the most reliable religion, and I cross out the word religion, and I put faith that anybody could ever follow. You can take it to the bank and cash it. You are following the most reliable. Even, let's say this. Let me just say this. And I hate to say this, but let's just say this. Say that Christianity was not the right way. One thing we could say, it's the best way. It's the best way. You know, I say this. Anybody else got another idea? Right? And so when people start coming up with their ideas, right? Anybody else got a better idea? What, Ford has a better idea. Anybody else got a better idea? All right. Well, then let's go down this right here. Unless it comes here, to me it's not really a better idea. And would to God that we understand that. And like I said, the reason that I wanted to share this message, because it's the first part of a series, but I wanted to share it too, since this is our missions conference coming up, and that there'll be people coming and presenting, and each one of those individuals are representing this man right here. They're representing Jesus Christ. You're going to give your prayer to something, and you're going to give your financial support to something. This is the best investment that you can make. Investing in somebody that's representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I heard somebody say that the King of Pop is dead. The King of Soul is dead. The King of Comedy is dead. The King of Kings, he still lives and reigns forever. Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we thank you that Jesus is superior to every religious leader that has ever walked across the face of this earth. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to realize that, because as we realize that, we become more secure in our salvation. And as Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. So, Father, I pray that you would take this message and that you would burn it into the hearts of everybody that's here today. We come to church every Sunday. We sing songs about Jesus. We get up in the morning and we read devotionals about Jesus. And Lord, when the question is asked, who is Jesus? A lot of the people that are doing that can't even tell you who he is. Hopefully after today, they can tell you one thing, and that is he is the greatest religious leader that ever lived. Father, I pray if there's one here today that has never received this man who is God called Jesus, that they would come today and give their life to Jesus Christ. Lord, minister to spirits, minister to hearts today. Father, I pray that if there's one here today that's looking for a church home, this is where you have led them, then as we give the invitation today, they would come. Lord, we ask that you would have your way. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Touched by the Angel. Jesus is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, there's none like him. Jesus is superior to other religious leaders. You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, there's none like him. Jesus is superior to other religious leaders. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, there's none like him. Jesus is superior to other religious leaders, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.